Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. It's over the bar.
Hello, welcome along to the RTE GAA podcast. I'm not Jackie Hurley. I'm Mikey Stafford. I'm back. Jackie's busy chasing eggs this week around Twickenham.
Jackie's off to Twickenham.
Yeah, she's not available, you know, so I'm here. It's okay. It's hurling. I should be all right, I think. Wexford, it'll be a draw because I'm from Wexford. It'll be a draw at the end. So it won't be too good, won't be too bad. It'll be a draw. I'm joined by Rory O'Neill, as always, Owen Ryan of the RT Online Desk, and by Neil McManus, former Antrim hurler. I hope you are all well this afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Mikey.
All good, Mikey. Stuff.
Good, Mikey. Very good. A lovely day. Looking forward to a weekend where hurling has the stage to itself, because I think it needs it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's a good collection of games this weekend as well, in fairness. Saturday is a little bit light, shall we say, but it does have Limerick v Tip in Parky Cueve and Westmeath and Antrim, which obviously, Neil, will be of interest to yourself. And then Sunday, I think Tipperary and Limerick is probably two semi-finalists playing each other, and Clare and Kilkenny quite possibly the other two semi-finalists playing each other. I'm at Waterford and Wexford, which we'll get into shortly why that is a very significant game, because it's like, to use the golf parlance, it's moving day, basically. It's the penultimate round of fixtures, and teams who want to be in the top seven for Division 1A next year, this is, you know, you can pretty much sink your chances this weekend if you don't get the right result, if you're if you're Waterford or if you're Dublin. So just on that note, Neil, I just wanted to ask you, because obviously up until 2018, the league was competitive. It was kind of blood and thunder. It was, you know, teams wanting to be in 1A, not particularly wanting to be in 1B, even if the evidence showed that for Galway and Limerick, it didn't do them any harm in winning All Irelands. And then the managers kind of met up and said, we don't like this. This is too much hurling too early in the year. There's too much jeopardy. We don't want it. So from 29 until this year being a kind of a hybrid, we've kind of had this toothless champion league where the best teams are divided into two divisions, and they're usually given a couple of sacrificial lambs to make sure that they're in no danger of being relegated. And it has led to kind of a watering down of the league. From a player's perspective, and a player who was on a team who, not to do Antrim a disservice, would probably closer to the category of sacrificial lamb than team likely to, you know, treading water, shall we say. I was wondering, how did that manifest itself for you? Like, were there weeks when you would go out and you would say, Jesus, they weren't at it at all today. They must have been training yesterday, or why were they playing a bunch of 19-year-olds? Or, you know, they were trying out some weird tactics. Like, how would it manifest itself that a team might kind of freewheel through a round or two of the league?
I think even if you look at what some of the teams, you know, you say your top four, top six teams have done this year, you've seen a little bit of that already. And I think actually how strong Antrim were for the past 4 years in the league, in the respect we got paid to, is in terms of games that were held in Corrigan Park. People knew that was going to be a hard day. So generally, when people travel to Corrigan, they travel with a full deck. And that was brilliant for the development of teams like Antrim and, you know, if Westmeath and if Offaly are in similar positions. But I know that when we would have travelled to, say we visited Waterford, say we visited Galway, you went to Salt Hill, you know, there was definitely times there where there was four or five lads that you just hadn't heard of, and they were getting an opportunity because, you know, the opposition felt they could afford to do that. I think there was merit in that for both the development county and the really strong county. So I actually liked the league setup the way it is here now. But because of the league setup that we're moving into next year, it's made this league, you know, very, very competitive, and it's really cut that dividing line, which it looks like, well, it really looks like Dublin are going to fall south of that line, and Waterford will be doing absolutely everything they can to be north of it this weekend. I'm pretty comfortable with the league the way it is. I don't think it should have been changed. I think it would help develop the lower tier counties, and I don't think the more established counties will gain very much from the league set up next year. I actually wouldn't be surprised if at the end of next year's league, we have managers of the top seven teams saying that
it's
was
too com- it's too intense.
I got lads injured. I didn't get to try any lads out, and therefore I think we should go back to a less competitive league structure. And I'd agree with that, because Antrim built up over 4 years really in terms of their championship, their ability to perform in championship through the league. So we had like 3-4 years really competitive hurling the league, and then it made us really competitive. And in the Leinster Championship last year, where we really should have beat Wexford, draw with Dublin, beat Westmeath, you know, that was the outcome of those 3 or 4 years. And I think we're doing a disservice to the teams outside of the top six or seven.
Yeah, it's a different point of view, Owen, than I would say that shared by a lot. And it's interesting to hear, because I think those of us in the media, at least, when you're reporting on the league and you're doing live blogs of the league, it can seem like shadow boxing, especially now that we've gone to a league format into provincial championship. But, you know, Neil's point is fair as well, that it's done a lot for probably Offaly, Antrim, Westmeath of the world, you know?
Yeah, it is an interesting one. I guess you're also wondering, if the stronger teams had to take it seriously, would you have had those same competitive games with them, Neil? You know, for me, certainly the last couple of years watching teams like Limerick, say, kind of treat the league as a training session has really taken a lot of the interest out of it. I am a fan of the new format, the new format, which could go back to God knows what format after that. One thing I think is interesting is, Mikey mentioned Limerick and Galway both winning All-Irelands from what was 1B. But you have to remember, 1B, you got knockout games against the 1A teams, which you won't get from next year. So, and even Galway actually even won the league and the All-Ireland, but didn't get promoted in the same season, which is a fantastic quirk of GAA structures.
That's true.
But I don't think, if the likes of, say, Waterford end up in 1B next year, I think it's going to be much harder for them to be genuine All-Ireland contenders than Galway or Limerick were under the previous system.
Yeah, well, the current system isn't doing... The current league system, followed by the Munster League, is definitely not doing Waterford any favours, Rory. And the problem is, at the moment, Limerick can still treat I think a tiered league as a training session, really, can't they? Considering the players are still haven't togged out this year.
Well, did they take the league any more seriously or less seriously last year? I think they kind of treated it the same and they won it, you know. But I don't necessarily think that's a reflection on the competition per se.
You can't be making rules off the basis of this Limerick team. They're
exactly
freakishly good.
I mean, like that's the thing. Limerick are at a level whereby they've got incredible strength and depth. Like when they cut their panel, and I presume there's a panel cut possibly this weekend. That's why this weekend is really interesting. You will see a lot of panels shaved because, look, as we know, the bean counters are coming for the intercounty setups at the minute. So I would not relish John Kiley's task in trying to tell a few of these guys, you know, you're not going to be part of our plans heading into the summer months. And that's a reflection on Limerick and just the strength that they're bringing to the table. So I think they're an outlier in the same way potentially Dublin are an outlier in the football sense. So I don't know if I'd treat that as a sort of a standard bearer for where the league is. I think they had to try something. I think the league had become a selection of glorified challenge matches, and I think it was starting to hurt attendances. I think we have had poor attendances this year with league games. Take out Cork Kilkenny down the park, which I think had close to 20,000. As far as I'm aware, Kilkenny played Offaly 2 weeks ago, which is a derby. It's a traditional fixture, and there was less than 4,000 in Nolan Park. This is to see the Kilkenny senior hurling team in their own stadium. That's not great. Walsh Park, as we know, hasn't been necessarily full. Limerick are on the road because they're doing works on the pitches down there. So the attendances were hurt. They were hurt a little bit last year. What are you going back to? You're going back to a situation where it could become ultra competitive. But one thing I will say, I got married in 2010 and had my stag in Portugal, in Lisbon. And the league final happened to be on that day. And we searched and scavenged bars all over Lisbon to try and find someone that had the game. Cork were playing Galway, lost. as usual. And
and they say nobody remembers who won the league.
But it was a fantastic game of hurling. There was a massive crowd. The league medal was something that people really sought and went after. What could you do to maybe supplement it in some way to bring it on some level of parity with football? I really, really liked TJ Ryan's idea about maybe a get out of jail card for the winners in the championship, which may or may not have to be may not have to be utilized depending on how you get on. And do you then maybe introduce a quarter final element or an extra quarter final element on that basis? I'm sure that could all be worked out. And I think small little tweaks like that, but I don't necessarily, and I'd agree with Neil to a large extent insofar as just because we've moved back to this system next year doesn't mean that all the problems with league hurling are solved, because as we all know, the real league is starting in less than 6 weeks' time.
Yeah, well, that the problem is they put in a second, more glitzy and a significant league, all right. Before we talk about the games this weekend, Neil, some significant news there. The Irish Independent are reporting that Johnny Glynn togged out for training with Galway during the week, which is quite a surprise. Last time he'd seen an intercounty action, he was playing football for New York, and his job seemed to preclude him from travelling home. But according to Michael Verney in the Irish Independent, he's home now for the next couple of months and has thrown his lot in with Henry Shefflin's squad. I think it's fair to say Johnny Glynn offers something that Galway didn't have, and very few counties have what Johnny Glynn is.
See, you see, never mind what Johnny brings on the pitch, you know, because they're not building too many Johnny Glenns. That the man is a mountain. But I was in New York at the start of February, and I had a chat with the New York footballers, and how those lads spoke about Johnny Glynn, just, you know, what he brought to their setup whenever he was involved, was massive. So there's obviously huge leadership within the man. But secondly, if you remember, I think it was Joe Cannon's last game for Waterford. Potentially it was a quarter final against Galway. It may have been in Thurles, if I'm remembering correctly. The last two
publics, playing for Galway against Waterford, I think.
Yeah. Playing for Galway against Waterford. He was the puck out option whenever they were trying to get back into that game, on his own, really, the last two puck outs, and he won them both. And I think he made a goal for Jason Flynn and scored a point, which actually at that stage made him maybe the record scorer in the championship on that day or at that time. But he was the go-to man, because there wasn't really another option for winning puck outs at that stage. Now, I know Galway have definitely developed in that area, but Johnny Glynn will give them an option that not a lot of county teams have, and one that Galway need, because Galway have developed really tricky forwards and really fast, pacey guys. But they, you know, obviously, and Conor Whelan inside has turned into a very strong operator as well. But how much will he complement that Galway forward line? It's huge. And I think we've seen, like, Henry has bolstered his backroom team. He's now bolstering his playing squad. He's going to everywhere that he can find it. 1-2%, because they've pushed in the last few years. You know, obviously haven't made the final, but they have really, really pushed. And I think he knows that we're close here, lads. So anything we can do to give us that extra percent, we're going to go after.
Yeah. Johnny Glynn lining out for his first game for Galway in 5 years against Limerick in the last round of the league would be something worth seeing, I think. All right.
The only thing I'd say, though, one thing I think is worth mentioning on it, Mikey, he's going to have to get his bunk bed and park it in a ball alley. Like, now Neil would know, Neil will obviously know a lot more about this than I, having played at the highest level. But four or five years away from top class intercounty hurling, your touch, your first touch, the sharpness will go out of your hurling to a large degree. You are going into an intercounty setup after being playing football. Now, you just don't know what he was doing while he was over in New York. But look, the reality is he wasn't getting the kind of quality hurling that he's going to require if he's going to try and go back in here and compete. I think he'll bring a physical edge, and he will have certainly a really good puck out option. Johnny Glynn versus Kyle Hayes would be some interesting matchup out on one wing. But I think your hurling will be blunted in that time. I remember Aidan Walsh was drifting from football to hurling and back again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're away from the game, Neil, would it be fair to say that you do lose a little bit of that edge?
I think you know, if you remember a Joe Canning at 19, you know, never did hurling look so effortless. Or even in my own club, Joseph McLaughlin at the minute, 18, already playing senior inter-county hurling with Antrim. It just looks like an extension of his arm is hurled. But I don't think Johnny will be given that job. His job will be to win the ball and hand it off. And I remember him doing that incredibly well in a round robin Leinster Championship game, I believe, with Kilkenny. In Kilkenny, I think it was drawn or else Galway won by a point that day, and he was phenomenal. So I think it will be Johnny will be used in a Route 1 fashion, and he won't be expected to be striking them over the shoulder from 45 yards out in the wing. He'll be winning ball, throwing it off the lads, and being an absolute wrecking ball, really.
I noticed, Neil, that a good few of the St. Thomas's lads were back for Galway against Antrim. Not barely a month after winning the All-Ireland, were you surprised by that?
I wasn't. One, as I previously alluded to, because of Antrim's really strong performances in Corrigan Park, especially over the last 4 years in the league, there's been respect paid to Antrim, and they probably were not aware just of how many bodies Antrim have been missing. But again, I think Henry has said, look, lads, we have a chance at the All-Ireland here. And, you know, time's running out for David Burke as well, probably, you know, and he's a big part of that Galway team, even if he's only playing 40, 45, 50 minutes of games. He's really important. Like, his performances after being out for essentially a year with an ACL in the semi-final and the final of the club championship were phenomenal, so he's really important, and I think Henry wanted to mainly get him Fenton too, but he really wanted David Burke bedded it back into that squad, because, you know, they have two more games here to prepare for championship, and then, you know, their assault on the All-Ireland begins, and I do think they're a contender, to be totally honest.
Yeah. Well, like, a month off, Jesus, a Derry footballer who played for Glenn could only dream of getting a month off after winning an All-Ireland, so it's not too bad. Let's get into these games. I think, Rory, we kind of have to start with the RT game down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh on Saturday night. Limerick hosting Tipperary, shall we say, on Lee side. It's an interesting game. We've got two unbeaten teams going up against each other. One probably with a point to prove. One probably just pleased that their great rivals have a point to prove against them. Limerick probably aren't too fussed. They won't say no to a league title, but at the same time, I wouldn't say it's definitely not their number one priority this year. Whereas Tipperary, I'd say there's desperation in Tipperary to put down a marker against Limerick before the Munster Championship and not having to be going into the Munster Championship with a serious inferiority complex, I think.
A Tipperary player with an inferiority complex.
That's why they don't want it.
What's that joke they say about Cork people? Did you hear about the Cork person with the inferiority complex? He thinks he's the same as everyone else. You could apply that to Tipperary just as easily. And especially when it comes to hurling, I think they tip proved last year. They were extremely flat in that quarterfinal, and that'll really annoy Liam Cahill. But I think Tipperary proved last year, right throughout the course of the Munster campaign. Now, look, they had a bit of a brain fart, I suppose, against Waterford the last day out, where maybe they thought they were home and hosed and they got caught. But they showed that they can go toe-to-toe with a full-tilt Limerick. They possibly were the better team than Cork on the day below in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, even though they finished with a draw. I think they won't have any whams coming down to Cork this Saturday night. I think it's a fantastic game to have on TV, and I think it's about time. Hurling needs an old injection this time of the year ahead of championship, I think this will be good. This will be very, very competitive. Two quality teams. I was looking at their championship fixture there. It's the 28th of April. Now, if you compare it to bygone eras, you would have had situations back, we'll say, when the Munster Championship was straight knockout, where a team would have finished their league campaign at the end of April and may not have been out in the championship until the first or second week of June. So you would have had a 6 week block of absolute nothingness and loads of prep. It's 6 weeks to when they meet in the championship with still two rounds of the league to go, plus a semi-final and a final, potentially. So I think, I don't know who mentioned it earlier when we were speaking, but this is definitely moving week. I think we'll start to see an awful lot of lads either put up or shut up. Panels are going to be cut. It's going to become much more competitive. I can't see anything other than a proper competitive game on Saturday night. It's going to be in the best stadium outside of Croke Park. The pitch will be perfect. Weather conditions, hopefully, benign. And two of the best teams in the country going toe-to-toe. Can't wait.
Yeah. You wonder, wouldn't you, Neil, how stacked John Kiely will go for this? Because, you know, it was Shane McGrath said in his column this week, he was sitting in Croke Park watching Limerick eviscerate Dublin at the weekend. And then he looked down beneath him in the stand and there were sitting Cian Lynch, Declan Hannan, Sean Finn, Peter Casey, Aaron Galan, not togged. So if John Kiely really wants to make a statement, and as Rory says, may have a squad cut in mind, not that any of those boys are in danger of being cut from the squad, you know, this. Do you think Limerick will go fully loaded on Saturday night?
I think he'll add on a couple. I think Limerick, and I actually think there was a little bit of a change in the Limerick psyche towards the league last year. I think they went out and decided we're going to beat everybody and we're going to beat them by as much as we can, and this is how we're going to operate now because we are on a different level from everybody else. I don't think they want to get beat ever. Now they've decided that even getting beat in the league's not good enough, so I think he'll add a couple in. I think this is mouthwatering. I think this will be the game of the weekend.
Yeah.
Saturday night, you know, under lights, live on TV. I think it's set up really nicely. I also think Liam Cahill will add in a couple back for tip as well. You know, he gave a lot of guys an opportunity. I would say, if I was a betting man, I would say the tip panel was probably cut at the beginning of this week. I would say people got their opportunity against Westmeath last day out, who were on the fringes of it. And if they didn't take it, they probably had their goodbye said by this stage. And I would think that Pip will go as strong as they possibly can. I think Limerick will be about 90% of the way there. This will be an absolutely fantastic game. I think actually if Pip win this one, they're into the semi-final. So I think Pip would like to do that with a game to spare.
Yeah, you'd think they would. And Owen, given that Galway have Dublin, who does, it would probably look like, you know, 2 points for Galway, you'd have to say at the moment. And, you know, they do then have Limerick in the last game. So it could get tight. So if Tip could, it would be magnificent for Tip if they could secure their place in the semi-final in a route to a league final, which they're more inclined to get to than others because they start a week later than others in the Munster Championship. So you could see Cahill should be targeting this game anyway for a variety of practical and also psychological reasons.
You would think so. I mean, the big question over Tip is, started really well last year, fizzled out, and of course similar happened to Waterford in as last year. So the big question is, can Liam Cahill taper things more effectively? We're kind of speculating that's what happened last year. They fizzled out a bit physically, but can he taper things better? But certainly the approach again seems to be go full steam and see if you can win it. I think they probably do have, as Neil said, closer to their full strength team than Limerick. Back, Jason Ford is back, Dan McCormack, Noel McGrath, Cahill Barrett might be back. We haven't seen Declan Hannan or Sean Finn yet. So Limerick are giving chances to some lads to impress, but I also do think it's funny that we seem to be taken in a bit by John Kiely around this time every year. There's always this talk of, oh, Limerick are bringing in new blood, you know, and they've found their depth, you know, and then when it comes to championship, it's basically the same lads have been playing since 2018, which, why wouldn't you? Because most of them are still only 20, 27, 28.
And half of them are all-time greats.
Yeah. It's true. And it's probably doing a disservice to those lads who do only get a game. It's a bit like it's Dublin O'Byrne Cup team from a few years ago. There's nothing wrong with that team Limerick put out in the league. It's just not quite as good as the team they put out in the championship.
Yeah. They still have plenty of backup as well, Mikey. And I think Donegal Dowling, I think he's been a major, major find. I think he could maybe even force his way into the team. And look, they always obviously play the two inside with Aaron Galan. You would imagine Peter Casey will be the second because it's kind of a two inside. No, there has been scope for that extra position. Graham Mulcahy has filled it in the past. I think Donegal Dowling could make a run and he could get into the side and again, strengthening them as they go on.
Yeah. I think it's going to be.
I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, and my apologies.
I think the second time you got it right is what I'm going to say, rather than correcting you or trying to say it myself again. In a word, then, Neil, who's going to win this one?
I think it'll be a draw, but he'd call me for a win. I think Limerick just about if it comes down to it. But I think this is going to be really tight. I think he'll definitely continue with the Dalig though. He's proven, especially he got 2-1 or 2-2 the last day out. And it'll be interesting to see where Cathal O'Neill plays, if he starts him, you know, because like you know, Mr. Kiley doesn't do anything for fun. There's a reason behind every team he picks, and he's obviously looking at Cathal O'Neill as a successor to Declan Hannan. So that will be interesting too. But I think Limerick at 90% still beat everybody else.
Yeah, Owen, how'd you see it going?
I'd give Tip a shot.
Of course.
Just because I think they're close with the full strength.
Yeah, and they've had I suppose Limerick have had the kind of easier. They have their two toughest games at the end, so I guess this will be a proper test of John Kiley's B team, or a nice introduction for his A team, Rory.
Limerick love playing Tip. Limerick are coming to Cork to play Cork and Páirc Uí Chaoimh. I think in many ways they'll use this Saturday as a dry run. I think you'll see the best of them, and I think they'll win.
Alrighty. We'll jump across to the other division, because you've got another top of the table clash there. Two unbeaten teams in Kilkenny and Clare meeting in Ennis. Two teams with a draw to their name, obviously against Wexford, because that's what Wexford do. And two teams who will again, you'd have to say, Neil, they'd love to sew up a semi-final place. It means, you know, you kind of last game, you can kind of do that, you know, traditional league bit of freewheeling or whatever, you know, kind of. And he also answered some questions about their squad, because Clare to a lesser extent, but Kilkenny have, you know, they've done a good bit of rotation during this league. So it'd be interesting to see whether Derek sees this as another chance to experiment, or is this a chance, you know, much like Limerick, is this a chance to put out that A team against the team who you've had the number over the last couple of years, but who are arguably the number three team, if not the number two team in the country, in their backyard. So there's another kind of practicality meets psychology issue here.
I do. I think we'll see Paddy Deegan. I think we'll see Hugh Lawler. We might even see a little bit of TJ at some stage. It's about that stage of the league. He usually makes a reappearance. And I think that Kilkenny will be very, very conscious that they have at Clare's number. They beat them in the last two All-Ireland semi-finals. They are jostling each other for that, you know, who's the big contender to Limerick. And I think that Kilkenny will go at it hammer and tongue. It would be a very significant win for Kilkenny because of the games in Ennis. You know, I think that's something that they'll really be targeting this weekend. And I think we'll see the reintroduction of some, but also Clare, you know, we haven't seen Tony Kelly, we haven't seen Eber Quilligan, we haven't seen Shane O'Donnell. So look, those guys could be back into you, and it could really turn into a brilliant encounter if we see both teams pushing hard for it. But I do, I think Kilkenny have a better panel. I'll be totally honest. I think Clare have some struggles at the back. They're blessed in the forwards and their midfield. Whenever they play Fitzgerald in midfield, he's unstoppable almost there. But I think on the whole, Kilkenny are stronger, and I think that's why they've got by them in the last 2 years.
Yeah, that's interesting, because, you know, Clare strength and depth, Owen, has been talked a lot about in the last couple of years. But I suppose it's something we just kind of take for granted with Kilkenny, isn't it? That they've got a squad of 20, 23 players who are, you know, inter-county championship ready.
Mm. I mean, Mark Rogers has done very well in the absence of Tony Kelly. I would still feel that Clare, even though they haven't been able to beat Kilkenny, I'd still fancy Clare to beat Limerick rather than Kilkenny to beat Limerick.
That's the quirk of how it's been the last few years. Yeah,
I think they're physically more of a match for Limerick, but if you can't get past Kilkenny, it's academic, I suppose.
It is.
I'd say one thing on that. So the success that Clare have had against Limerick, even the games where they've ran them to a point and extra time, they've been in a smaller venue. we've only seen Kilkenny really taking on Limerick in Croke Park, which is an unforgiving place to be playing against Limerick. I think actually Kilkenny are every bit as physical as Clare. It just they just haven't played them on a pitch that's been that's lent itself to that being a help for them. And I think Kilkenny are developing. I think they're doing things really quietly, and I think they are the team who will potentially upset the apple cart further down the line.
Rory, to a hot topic or a question that doesn't get asked too often yet, nor should it have. Is there a place in the starting 15 in Kilkenny for TJ Reid still?
It's a good, yeah. I think a fully fit, fully functioning TJ Reid walks into any team, including Limerick's. But he is not getting any younger. I think, is he 35 now?
36,
you know. But look, he runs his own gym. He keeps himself in incredible condition. He eats all the right things. He doesn't, you know, put any bad stuff into his body. He's always in incredible nick. I think from his point of view, that'll elongate his career. And just in terms of, like, if you be young, they're a youngish team, Kilkenny. They have some young players. They're transitioning from a couple of really good under 21 teams that played under Derek Ling over the last couple of years. And, like, by the way, and the lads are dead right, Neil, like, it's Kilkenny, you're going nowhere. Like, you saw about St. Kieran's again over the weekend against Ardskull Reach, and they're on another march towards a Dr. Crow Cup. So, like, you know, Kilkenny will always be there. They'll keep producing players. Their age profile is quite young. I think the leadership, experience, and knowledge and know-how to win All Ireland's. You have to bear in mind, Kilkenny haven't won it approaching a decade now. Mm. Mm-hmm. And TJ is one of the rare and few that have a couple of medals in the back pocket. So maybe Scruff has one as well. I presume he does. But I think having that in your dressing room for as long as you can keep him there, and as long as he has the will and the hunger and the desire to continue, TJ Reid is worth his weight in gold.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not denigrating TJ Reid's hurling ability. Around. It's actually more his willingness to hang around, Neil, that kind of interests me because you know there's the odd Tony Brown around, but like hurlers tend to like to, you know, yourself included, I'd say you probably had another couple of years in you perhaps, but you decided it was the time to go. You don't see that many raging against the dying of the light, and he's been one of the greatest to ever do it. And not that he'd be worried about his legacy or whatever, but just that, is it as much fun in a team that isn't winning, et cetera, et cetera? That's more what I'm thinking rather than he can't do it, because like he won an All-Star last year, for Christ's sake. He still can clearly do it.
TJ just loves hurling. You know, Every time you talk to TJ, you know, he's like a child about hurling. You know, he absolutely loves it. And look, I personally think he's the best ever to do it.
The best ever, Neil.
Yeah, I think he's the best forward. I think JJ is the best back. I think that what TJ has done, because Kilkenny over the past, you know, 8 or 9 years haven't been the team that they were during the noughties, and he won them games where, you know, they possibly weren't the better team. But I think to your original point, Maggie, Kilkenny have to use him differently. Last year in the All-Ireland final, there was two or three occasions where he had hunted back, actually turned over people in his own 20-yard line and stuff, you know, in the All-Ireland final. I know he loves working hard, and that's a big part of his game. I think he should be told, you're not allowed in the defensive half of our field. We're gonna allow Adrian Mullen to track back. We're going to allow the other lads to do that for you. Because he has that ball-winning ability that so many teams are after at the minute. That's why Galway have brought Johnny Glynn back. TJ can still go up, you know, with three or four men around him and bring it out of the sky, and all of a sudden there's a backward hand pass that nobody else seen on. So I think we need to use him a little bit differently, but I think he's still an unbelievable player. I think he is, never mind one or two All-Ireland, I think he made a five in the back pocket, and he
I'm not sure he counts the first two because he was a sub, isn't that it? Don't know if they count those ones in Kilkenny.
That's the luxury of being TJ Reid. But I think that he's still very important to them, and I would say Derek Ling's well aware of that. And I also don't think TJ would be hanging around if he didn't think there was another All-Ireland on the cards.
That's the other point.
I think Killian Buckley and Conor Fogarty are there since 2015 as well.
There you go.
Better than them. The other thing about TJ is there a better free taker in Ireland. So considering how important frees are in Ireland these days.
Can he transfer to Wexford? Kind of like his MLS messy period. He could just see out his career in Wexford and just have a more relaxed existence. Okay, so how are we all seem a little bit conflicted on this one. I'm going to go for Clare in their backyard. I don't know about you, Neil.
Kilkenny for me.
Yeah, Owen.
Clare.
And Rory.
Yeah, I think Clare love playing Kilkenny, and they will. I think they. What happened last year's semi-final, particularly in that first half, I think that'll be part of the narrative for them going into it. It's obviously not going to rectify the wrongs in their head in terms of the performance in that first half, where they were very flat against Kilkenny in that semi-final and they've been beaten 2 years in a row. So I think there'll be a bit of spite in that Clare play on Sunday, and I'd fancy them to win.
Okay. Another tough game to call, you'd have to say, is probably the one down in Walsh Park between Waterford and Wexford. If you're going to the bookies, obviously a draw is probably a safe bet. But Neil, neither of these counties obviously have really sparked yet in the league, given they both have kind of injury issues, and they don't, either of them, best will in the world, have the squads that some of the other teams have to cope with. So you could almost say that to still be in with a shout of, at a long shot, a semi-final, but at least a place in the top tier next year, you know, with two rounds left, isn't terribly bad going.
I think Wexford fans especially will be really happy with where they're at. I know it's been three draws in the bounce, and actually another draw would probably do it for them. But like, I think that, you know, they're almost in bonus territory for the league. I think a lot of people thought, you know, okay, I'll look at that list of teams in the two divisions, and Dublin and Wexford are going to fall into the second grouping. Wexford have a real chance now of staying up, and you think of the personnel that we haven't seen yet. You know, three of their best known forwards, three of their best known backs, backs and midfielders, obviously, and Liam Ogan and Dee O'Keefe. But like, I think that if Wexford have a couple of those lads back, they can really give this a rattle on Sunday. I think Waterford are under pressure. I think Davy is under pressure in terms of keeping them in that top tier. I would say, you know, redeveloped Walsh Park, they'll be thinking, you know, we want to be bringing big crowds here every weekend in the league and the championship. And look, I think that it's a must win for Waterford. I think Wexford will go down with a little bit of a spring in their step, thinking, you know, look, we got a draw against Kilkenny. Why should we not be able to get that at the very least against Waterford? So I give Wexford every chance. I think Keith Rossiter's off to a flyer, and I'd love to see him doing well. He's a really honest to goodness player, tough bit of stuff, and he's done a great job in those first three games with the personnel that he's missing.
Yeah, that's true, and it is. They've been coping well with the personnel they're missing. The only thing is, own they're going to be missing Lee Chin at the weekend, and best will in the world, he is still so integral to everything. You talk about TJ Reid's ball winning ability. That's something that Lee Chin also has in spades, and is, as you mentioned, Neil, the Johnny Glynn example. It's almost the most coveted thing in hurling these days, is to have a guy who can go up among a forest of players on that, you know, the 45-yard line and come down with the ball.
And I think, kind of as Neil was saying there, like, Waterford really, really need this one, you know. But West Wexford are kind of performing above expectations to a certain degree, but like, Waterford haven't really had the, what I call the Davy bounce yet, or it doesn't seem like they've had it, you know.
It's the third year, isn't it? Isn't that what they always say with Davy? It's the third year, or is it the second year? I get it.
Well,
confused between him and Mourinho.
It depends on which. It depends on which year he wins something.
Well, if they lose this weekend, they're definitely going to be in 1B next year, which I don't think would be part of the Davy master plan. You know, Austin's not there. Stephen Bennett is injured. Sean Walsh got a good few goals. That's a bit of a bright spot, but I think this is huge for Waterford. You know, if it's hard to see, if they lose this, would you see them beating Cork in Munster? Even at the moment, you probably wouldn't, but if they lose this, especially not.
Yeah, but then, Rory, the flip side of that is, they would say if there was an extra 3 or 4 minutes below in the park against Cork the last day, they probably would have come out the right side of it, wouldn't they?
It was a really bizarre game of hurling, that. It was classic league game in that both teams kind of switched off for spells and switched on for spells. So no real consistency or flow on either team's play. And I think there will be, say it will be championship fervor, but it mightn't be far off it in Walsh Park on Sunday. I mean, they are neighbors. It is a derby game. Obviously, they're in two separate provinces, so they can go hammering.
It does dilute the derby somewhat.
Yeah, but they can go full throttle at each other because they know they're not going to be meeting each other in championship, certainly unlikely anyway. And I think from that point of view, I think this could be the most, this could be right up there with Limerick Tip as the most honest encounter over the course of the weekend in terms of what we end up seeing. It's a vital game for both teams. I really like what's going on with Wexford. I think I love Keith Rossiter. There's no whinging, no moaning, no, oh, I'm missing this fella, I'm missing that fella. No excuses. They all look like they're playing for him. It looks like they've got their spirit back. And I think if he gets those more experienced lads back in ahead of championship, I think Wexford could have a really good year. This will be a competitive match on Sunday, make no doubt about it. Obviously, given Davey's relationship with Wexford as well, you know, that'll add a little extra spice to the pot. So should be a good crowd and hopefully a good contest.
Yeah. Yeah, Wexford, they have blended in quite a lot of youth. So a bit of the experience back now could do the trick. It's going to be a draw anyway. What do you think, Neil?
It could be a draw.
you would think now that Waterford, just with everything that's on the line, you know, at home, that they will have enough with a couple of lads who have returned. But whenever you're playing with a weight of expectation around your neck, it can be tough. But I would think that they will just have enough. But you know, Wexford have been surprising teams all year, so let's see what happens. But I think Waterford will just have enough.
Owen?
Yeah, I think Waterford, with what's at stake, I mean, they have to.
Yeah, Rory?
Yeah, I go along with that. I think Waterford's need is greater. They're at home, and I think they'll get the job done.
I'm disappointed in the three of you, but okay.
Apologies.
Yeah, sorry. We won't cover every game, lads, unless somebody has something very burning to say about Galway v Dublin. And I know, Neil, you've had your say about Dublin hurling, and I don't think your views have probably changed in the last 2 weeks. So I think we probably all agree that that's probably going to be a Galway win, unless, you know, Micheál Donoghue's return won't be glorious. One match I did want to mention, and not just because it's actually in Rory's contract that we have to talk about Cork every week, but because, you know, one of those teams Wexford drew with was Offaly, and Offaly, even though Wexford were down to 13 players, one of them definitely a bit odd. Offaly could definitely say they should have come away from Wexford Park with a win there. Very spirited Neil for 35 minutes against Kilkenny, which is a thing you can say about most counties at some point. They have put the wind up Kilkenny for 35 minutes and then felt the whirlwind after the break. But they've been surprising teams, Offaly, haven't they? Like, genuinely, not in a condescending way am I asking that. They are really... They're holding their own in Division One.
They absolutely are. Being competitive for large parts of all their games so far. You know, people have to realise that Offaly are still playing Joe McDonagh whenever it comes to championship time this year.
And no guarantee to win that.
Absolutely not. It will be a dogfight. But they have a very strong spine in Ben Kalini and Killian. Look, they have good players. The Sampson brothers are good players too. It's the depth of panel that kind of catches you out eventually, because you pick up one, two, three injuries, or, you know, somebody's not available through suspension, and a team like Offaly or like Antrim, they really feel that. So I think Offaly have done really, really well. I think they'll be happy with the progress that they've shown. It's a perfect setup for them next year in terms of the Division 1B, or it's essentially Division 2. And then they're moving into the Joe McDonagh off the back of these, you know, brilliantly highly competitive games against the top tier teams. I think we'll go down. Cork will be too strong is the truth. And, you know, Cork might actually get the opportunity to try a few things out as well, because there is that bridge or that gulf in class. But I think that Offaly will go down again and say, we're going to hurl the same way as we have done. We're going to set up, it will be slightly defensive again, but we're going to run the ball out. We're going to try and work it to shoot in positions and get the right lads on the ball. And I think that they are, of the emerging teams, they have been the top performer.
Yeah, and the table doesn't really tell that. They've got 1 point against Wexford. I think they're minus 19 points difference on. So like, it's not like, you know, it's not telling in the table, but you'd have to have watched Offaly play. And they're one team, like, Offaly won't be craving to be in Division 1A next year. Division 1B will suit Offaly quite nicely next year, won't it?
Totally. And even, I think the table, only in the scoring difference do you get the real kind of... you know, the level that they've played at, because they're minus 19, but whereas, you know, Westmeath and Antrim and the other draw, the maybe the easier side of the league, are in the minus 40s.
Yeah, that's true, actually. It's just it doesn't compare too well. So, Owen, yeah, a taste of the top level, and then, you know, they'll go back to Joe Madonna, hopefully get out of that. And then, but next year they're in Division 1B, which will be a good blend for them.
You would think so, yeah. I mean, more winnable matches, certainly. I mean, you could maybe ask the same question of Antrim and Westmeath, Neil. You know, would you rather looking at the schedule, have a couple of games thinking, yeah, we could definitely win that, rather than maybe we could win one and keep it tight in the rest? But interesting that Neil talking about Antrim in Corrigan Park. I mean, the fact that Dublin only won by, was it 1 point, 2 points?
And yeah.
That effectively takes Dublin out of the equation if they lose to Galway this weekend, because their score difference is so bad after getting thumped by Tip and thumped by Limerick that they would have to hammer Westmeath, who only lost to Limerick by 6 points, who only lost to Tipperary by seven. So it's not just will you win every match, it's how much you win them by.
Yeah. And or if you draw them all, then your score difference is, you know, very, very stable. just to wrap up then, Rory, I guess, where else are we looking? We've already looked at Galway and Dublin. So I'm losing track now what games we cover, what games we haven't. Then we've got... We're pretty well covered.
We're there, but there is one thing I'd like to just ask Neil about, because I think it is important. I thought it was... We spoke about it before we began recording. I thought it was fantastic to see Emma Little-Pengelly and Michelle O'Neill, you know, pucking a ball with a hurley and a slitter in West Belfast there yesterday. And just to see, you know, the image of that and the leadership that the two women are showing in a week when it's really important about women in sport and International Women's Day tomorrow, and obviously Mother's Day on Sunday. And I just thought it was a very progressive thing to see in a very exciting time for people living in the north of Ireland.
Absolutely. And Rory, I couldn't have summed it up any better than you have. I think that a lot of people from a GAA tradition would feel that the acts of reconciliation and the acts of outreach have been predominantly from the nationalist side in terms of the political outreach. You know, Martin McGuinness, meeting the Queen, for example. We haven't seen enough of that from, you know, the DUP leadership in the north over the past decade or so. So to see Emma Little-Pengelly really reaching out that hand of friendship to the GAA community is very welcome, and it bodes really well for the future in the north. Bodes well for Casement Park, obviously, the redevelopment, which is a big issue for the GAA. And I think it symbolises where the people of the north are at. You know, we want to move forward. We want to bring this place to somewhere that we're proud to live in, and to make it a part of the island that is shared, that is inclusive. And sport's a brilliant way of doing that. You know, I genuinely think that the players... within the GAA are the most important sporting cohort on the island. And whenever we see them being treated with the respect that Emma Little-Pengelly showed this week, I think it bodes so, so well for the environment that we're going to get to live in and move forward in.
Yeah. And they were both far better swingers of a hurl than a few politicians I can think of who've taken a goal recently.
And a few All Blacks.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, look, thank you very much to Neil, to Owen, and to Rory. I'll be back again on Monday, actually, because Jackie is still chasing eggs around London on Monday. So we'll be back with Rory to review the weekend's action, and hope everybody enjoys the matches. So look after yourselves, and we'll chat to you then. Goodbye.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. Oh, there's the whistle. It's over.
We earned it.
it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it! It's over the bar!